Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
If you have a Bible, go to Romans chapter 12, or if you got your phone or whatever it is, you keep your Bible on. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You find it? How many are excited about Romans chapter 12?
Yes.
You don't even know what I'm going to read yet, but it's all good, right?
Yes.
No matter what I read out of Romans 12, it's going to be good. But here's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And this may be a series, I don't know. We'll just see how it goes tonight, see if we need to do some more. But I'm going to talk about, and it's, you know, this title is going to have a question mark at the end of it. I'm going to talk about conformed or transformed, question mark.
Come on.
You know, you're either being conformed or you're being transformed. And you have to decide which one you want. And which one are you going to go for? Amen?
Amen?
So let's read here. I think you know the scripture. It's a familiar scripture. And sometimes you say, well, Pastor, you've read that scripture before. Well, you know what? I'm going to read it again.
Amen.
I've eaten, you know, I don't know about you, but there's only so many ways to make chicken and beef or whatever it is that you like to eat, or maybe you like vegetables or whatever. There's only so many ways to make it, you know. And, you know, but you need it, right?
Right.
Amen. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I think people think, well, you know, Pastor's getting a little bit addle in his old age. He forgets he's preached on these things before. Oh, no, no, I haven't forgot about it, you know. You have, but I haven't. And that's why I preach on it some more. Amen. There's a few that, you know, there's a few people that maybe remember what I preached on, you know, last week, but most don't. So, you know, if you preach it again, they'll never know the difference. Amen. Maybe change the title a little bit. Let's not be at this long enough to know, you know, and I know how I am. Sometimes I don't remember what I preached on last week. And so I have to go back to the internet or whatever and check it out and find out, what did I preach on last week? Just so I don't preach on it again this week. One pastor, he preached on the same thing. I forget how many weeks in a row it was. And, I mean, it was like a long time. I'm talking about months. He kept preaching the same thing every Sunday morning over and over again. And finally, the board decided, you know, maybe we better talk to Pastor. I think he's maybe losing it a little bit, you know. And they said, Pastor, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but you've been preaching the same thing for months now, every Sunday morning. When are you going to change? He said, I'm not. Not till you start doing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That'll get some doers, won't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so anyway, you know, we're going to talk about, and I know Pastor Jerry just talked about, you know, remember the message he preached? It was powerful, that your thoughts are taking you someplace, see. They are taking you someplace. And so we're going to talk about being conformed or being transformed. You know, now in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I love this verse. I love this verse.
Amen.
It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the renovating of your mind. You know, your mind needs renovated when you get saved.
Right?
It needs redone. You ever bought a house and need renovated? I like to watch those shows. I don't see them very often, but I like to watch those shows where they take these houses and, you know, they just transform them. And I'm thinking, how come I can't think of that? You know, they get done, I think, why didn't I think of that? Knocking that wall out and doing this here, you know? All I can think about is throw some paint on it or something. But, it, you know, they got a gift there, right? And it's amazing. But, see, that's the way it is when you get saved. Your mind needs renovated. You got born again. You're going to heaven. But you still got to, verse 1 talks about presenting your body. But then you can talk about renewing your mind, which is the part we're going to talk about tonight. You have to do that. You have to start changing the way you think, because the way you used to think won't work now in this kingdom.
Right.
Amen. It's like, I think it was something like this that Pastor says, Dr. Barclay says, you know, we want to bring what we think into this kingdom, and it won't work here. Is that what he says?
Something like that.
It doesn't work here. See, God, this kingdom's different than the one we just came out of. Amen. And so we have to, you know, and we're either going to be conformed or we're going to be transformed. I don't care whether you're saved or not. Paul's writing to Christians, isn't he? The church at Rome. That's who he's writing to, right? The Romans, you know, the church at Rome and all. And so I don't know how he addresses this letter, you know, to the saints that are at Rome, you know. Well, he's talking to believers, and he's telling believers, you're either going to be conformed or you're going to be transformed.
Right.
One thing you can bank on is you're not just sitting idle.
Right.
You're going to be doing one or the other. You're either being conformed to this world or you're being transformed. Now, it doesn't take anything to be conformed to this world. All you have to do is just do nothing. Just get saved. Don't do anything. Don't read your Bible. Don't come to church. Don't listen to anybody else preach. Amen. Don't pray. You'll get conformed to the world. It'll just automatically happen because this is going in that direction. Why do you think that some of the things that that in our nation that people are okay now, 20 years ago they didn't okay them?
Right.
Now what happened there? Well, did things change? Did the Bible change? Did morality change? Did some of this stuff's just science. I mean, you're either a male or female. I'm sorry. There ain't any other. And you get banned on Facebook for saying it now. But I mean, it's just nonsense. See, what happened here? Well, 20 years ago, everybody knew that. 20 years ago, everybody knew a lot of things. But what happened was they started getting conformed instead of transformed. And see, it can happen to a believer. As a matter of fact, it is happening to believers where they're getting conformed to the world. Now, I'm not just talking about morality. I'm just talking about all areas of life. See, the Bible's got a plan for every area of your life. So I'm not just talking about morality. Morality is a big part of it. But the other thing is God wants you conformed to what He thinks about healing and finances and marriage and relationships. Amen. And how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Glory to God. See, you don't get a pass because you had a bad day. Right? You don't get a pass because some things happen. You still got to obey the Word of God, right? So He said, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's finish reading the verse. That you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now what that means when He says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God, it just simply means that you may come to be acquainted with or come to know or come to have working in your life that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When you renew your mind, all of a sudden what starts happening in your life is the will of God starts taking place. Amen. You begin to prove it. You begin to test it. It begins to, when you get your mind renewed, you start partaking of the good, the perfect, acceptable will of God. See, not everything that happens in our life, and we talk about this, but there is a brand of Christianity that teaches that everything that happens to you, it's just the will of God and wouldn't happen. Everything gets filtered through God and everything that happens, it happens because God's got a plan. Well, I agree. There are things that haven't come into our life. It's the plan of God. It's the will of God. It was filtered through God, but not everything, Amen. Amen. See, not everything. If that was true, none of us would ever sin. I'm sorry, maybe you never have, but anyway, since you got saved, but I believe most people after they got saved have probably sinned a time or two. Amen. Come on. So what are we talking about here? See, not everything that comes our way is necessarily the will of God. Just like for instance, I knew this preacher. He was a good faith guy, and he kind of got off a little bit and got a little bit into unbelief and stuff. And I thought he's headed for trouble. And then he started preaching, God's got your days numbered. You only live so long, and when God's done with you, and then you're done. But that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation.
Amen.
Proverbs talks about lengthening your days.
Yeah.
Well, if you can lengthen your days, you can shorten your days.
Right.
So it has something to do with what you do.
Right.
With long life, will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Well, how long is long life? Well, tell you, Brother Hagin used to say it this way, when you hear I'm gone, I was satisfied. So in 2003 of September, he got satisfied. He went on to be the Lord. Amen. So, that's God's plan. I mean, if he has something else for you, then he'll tell you. Remember when Peter and John, when Jesus was resurrected and he came and he appeared to Peter and John, they were out fishing in a boat and he said, "You've caught anything?" They said, "We haven't caught anything." And they realized it's the Lord, and they got back to shore and he already had some fish on the grill. Cooking fish, and all. And then he begins telling Peter how he was going to die and glorify God. Peter was crucified upside down, is what history tells us. And he said, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself, you went where you you know, where you wanted to. But when you get old, he said somebody will take you someplace you don't want to go, you know. And, you know, Peter didn't like that. He said, well, what about John? And Jesus said, what's that to you? You mind your own business. That's a blunt way to say it, but that's what he said. He said, you know, if I want him to live till I come, that's nothing to you. You just follow me. You do what I tell you to do. So Peter died. You know, he died glorifying God by giving his life as a martyr. But I don't think most of us are going to do that. Amen. That doesn't happen that often. But Peter did, you know, but the Lord told him that's going to happen to you. And you know what? Guess what? It was when he was old. He said, when you're young. He said, but when you get old... Amen. So, you know, he lived out, we don't know how long he lived, but he lived a good long time. Amen. Praise God. So, anyway, I don't know about you, but I want the good, perfect and acceptable will of God in my life. Amen. Now, listen to this. I got some of this down this was some notes that I had. The word conform, this word which says, be not conformed to this world. This word conform means to fashion alike or to conform to the same pattern. In other words, we just, you know, as believers, how many know we're not supposed to expect the same thing the world expects? We're not supposed to expect the same thing. You know, but yet, you know, we'll listen to the quote, experts and take their advice when we should be listening to the real expert, right, and take his advice. Come on, are you alive tonight? See, you understand. See, it's not a matter of what people are saying. It's a matter of what God has already said in His Word. You know, if you listen to Him, months ago, we're all going to die of coronavirus. Well, I'm not dying of coronavirus. I'm going to live. You know, you hear all this stuff. You know, all these. This isn't the first thing. A lot of people act like this coronavirus is like the first thing that's ever happened in our country, a pandemic. No, it's not. There's been many more. You thank God through Jesus Christ we can overcome all of it. Amen. This isn't the first one, but young people don't know that. You go, my father, two of his brothers, they died from one of the plagues that came in years ago back in the 30s, you know, I forget which one it was, diphtheria or something like that. They died from that plague. So, you know, so this isn't the first time. But guess what? Us believers in Christ Jesus, we can overcome everything. That's right. Hallelujah. But you got to renew your mind. Amen. So the word conform means to be fashion-like or to fall into the same pattern, you know, that the world's in. So I don't take the world's advice as final authority on anything. Anything. I check it with the Bible. I check it with the Spirit of God. Because I know this, He knows far more than the world knows. Amen. You know, people are concerned. You know, that one, bless her heart, one politician said, we've only got 12 years left on the planet. And I think three of those have already passed by, so that just means nine. Two or three have. Well, how many know? She doesn't know what she's talking about. Come on, are you all going to be this quiet? Maybe you believe her. I don't believe her. I believe what God said in His Word. Amen. Amen. I've already read the end of the book. I know how it's going to end. Yes. Amen. The Bible says it'll be like when the Lord comes, it'll be like in the days of Noah.
That's what it says. Amen.
Our Lot. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it'll be, then they were marrying, giving in marriage. And so, you know, they were just carrying on life. They weren't burning up under the sun. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, you know, they think we're crazy because we believe that. But guess what? In the end, you know, we're going to be proven right. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you mean you don't believe the earth's getting warmer, Pastor? Oh, my gosh, you're one of those climate change deniers. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know I was going to church with a climate change denying pastor. I didn't say the climate's not changing. Changes all the time. You don't like it, just stick around. This is Indiana, brother. You don't like it today, hang around. It could be 16 today and the next day 60. Hang around. It'll change. No, you understand this. What people don't understand is the earth goes through cycles. You say you're a scientist? No, but I just live long enough to find this out. The earth goes through cycles of heating up and cooling down. When I was in the 70s, you know, I remember that coming ice age that we were told was coming. Scientists were telling us, the world's going to freeze over. We're all going to freeze out. Man, buy some long underwear and store it up. You're going to need it. Get the good stuff from Sears. You know, because this, come on, I'm not making this up, man. This was going on in the 70s. They were telling us we were going to freeze to death, man. And then that didn't happen, so then we're going to burn to death. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to live on. Hallelujah. Come on. See, some of the younger people don't remember that because they weren't around. So they're going around thinking, oh my, they're believing what, you know, they're hearing, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to burn up. Oh my gosh, they don't know that we were already told once we were going to freeze up. I'm going to go up. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. So, and you know, this will get, you know, people when they hear that think, well, he's just a nut. Well, you just hang around a few years, you'll see. Miami will still be here. If the Lord, terrorists are coming, Miami's not going in the ocean. I remember we lived through the time when they were telling us California was going to fall in the ocean. Remember that? It was like, buy property in Arizona because that's where the beachfront's going to be. And there's been times I maybe wished it would have fell off in the ocean, but anyway, praise God, another story. Sorry, people from California. We love you. Hallelujah. But you need some help out there. Amen. Now, all right, conform, to be fashioned after the same pattern. Transform means to be metamorphosis, or it means metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis is, you know, that changing. And it actually means, here's what this word transform means. It means a major change. There's a major change will come to your life when you start renewing your mind with the Word. Amen. A major change. Now, you know, this word metamorphosis, you know, because that's what the actual Greek word is where it says transformed, by the renewing of mind. The word transform is actually the Greek word metamorphosis. And it's, you know, the story about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. I read something. I thought, well, I'm going to look that up today and see how that happens. Listen to what this person said, you know, about, and it's on the internet, so it's got to be true. And listen to what this person said. I forget what website it was for sure. But it was, it talked about, you know, the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, how he hangs onto a branch and he weaves the cocoon and he gets inside of it. Here's what it says happens. It says, in order to be able to become a butterfly, the caterpillar has to fall apart completely. Decomposed down to its very essence, devoid of any shape or consciousness, it literally dies. There is nothing left of it. I thought, now that's the way you got to be transformed, man. What you were has to come to nothing. It has to dissolve, literally die. What you used to think, it has to go by the wayside. Amen. Because the world, God says, give and it'll be given to you. The world says, hoard. Just the opposite. So there has to be this total meltdown of who you were to become who God wants you to be. You can't think the way you used to think. And, you know, I've said this before, but I learned early in my Christian life, if I was going to walk in victory, I needed to do two things, at least two things. I needed to stay full of the Holy Spirit, and I needed to keep my mind renewed with the Word. If I didn't do those two things, I was going to have trouble. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Come on, somebody help me out now. Isaiah 55. So we're just talking about conformed or transformed. Which one's it going to be for you? I don't know about you, but I want to be transformed. I don't want to be conformed to this world. For instance, you know, we all face difficulties. We all face challenges, isn't that right? I don't know anybody that doesn't. Sometimes we face physical challenges. I face physical challenges. We all face physical challenges. We all face. But don't take the world's advice as the final authority on that. You understand? See, you know, they may tell you, you know, you're going to have this forever. Well, how many? That's a long time. God says something different. He said, by my stripes you're healed. Right? So we have to decide whether I'm going to just fall and am I going to let my mind be conformed to what I just heard? Now listen, now hear what I'm saying. Don't get angry at the doctor because he gave you a bad report. He's just telling you what he found. I've seen Christians do that, you know. Well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Well, why'd you go to start with then? If you didn't want to hear what he said, he told you what he found in the natural. That's all he told you. So what he told you is, it is a fact, but there's some truth that overrides that fact. See, so you have to go back and find out and renew your mind to what God said about it. Right?
Yes.
See, there's been, you know, I preached, I didn't really preach at his church, but we preached together at a camp meeting at the end of the year, every year. He would be there for quite a few times he was there, and I was there every year to preach at this camp meeting years back. And he was a little older than me. Actually, he was quite a bit older than me at the time because I was just probably in my 40s when I was preaching there. And he was in his 70s, so he was quite a bit older. He was about 30-some years older than me. Well, he was just full of life. I mean, I told Phyllis one night, day after he got done preaching, I said, man, he's got more energy than I do. And I was in my 40s or 30s, whatever. Well, I think probably 40s at the time. But his testimony was, he was a preacher for a pastor for a denominational church, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues and, actually believing the Word and getting on fire for God, and they kicked him out of his church. Kicked him out. Got the left foot of fellowship.
Yes, he did.
You know, years ago, there's a guy who wrote a book. I probably still got it in my library somewhere. It's called Kicked Out of the Kingdom. His daughter got healed of a club foot, and he got kicked out of his church for it. Kicked out of the kingdom. They told him the devil did it. Yeah, how God anointed the devil with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of him. I don't think that's a scripture. How many know that? It's almost blasphemy. Kind of bothered me to say it, but you got the point, right? See, you understand. See, you got to go back to the Word of God. See, that's somebody whose mind is renewed with religion. And so anyway, he got kicked out of his church, and because he was got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he said, Lord, what do I do? He said, where do I go now? And the Lord said, well, I called you to this city. Don't leave here. Start a church. I called you here. So, in a case like that, that would be all right. You know what I'm saying? It would be wrong if he just left his church and go start a church in the city to compete with the church he just came out. That wouldn't be right. But this was a different case where they said, we don't want God. Get out of here. And so the Lord said, just stay there. So he said he started his church, and it started going good. And he began having physical problems, And he went to the doctor, and the doctor checked him out and everything and said, well, I got bad news. He said, you got 6 months to live. You got cancer in your body, and you got 6 months to live. We can't help you. We can't do anything for you. There's nothing we can do. And so he said, I went outside. That's bad news. How many know that? And he said, I went outside. He said, and I said to God, and I was out in the parking lot of the, where the doctor's office. And he said, I said to God, I said, well, Lord, I can't die. I'm not done yet. You call me this city, I'm just getting started here in this church. I can't die yet. I can't die. See, what happened there? Well, here's what happened. Even though what the doctor told him was the truth, he didn't let that renew his mind. He didn't get conformed to what the world said about his physical condition. Now, I'm not saying what they said was a lie. I'm just saying there is something else. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he went by what the Word says, and the Word says, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, when I was preaching with him, that was 10 years ago. Everybody say 10 years ago. I mean, from his diagnosis is what I meant. I don't mean 10 years ago from right now, but for 10 years. So his 6 months is now 10 years. So he's got 9 years, 6 more months more than what the doctor gave him. You know what? I don't think he's going to die of cancer. I mean, he may be in heaven now. He was in his 70s then. I was in my 40s, and now I'm in my and anyway, so he may be gone now. I don't know. He may already gone to heaven just by virtue of age. But the point is he didn't die by cancer. As far as I know, he didn't die by cancer. I don't know how he died. I don't even know if he's even dead. He may still be preaching somewhere. He may be in his 90s or whatever. He'd be 100 and preaching somewhere and still shouting praises of God. I don't know. But all I know is that even though the doctor was right and the doctor gave him a diagnosis, he did not allow that to renew his mind and begin to feel sad and down. And come on, are you with me now? See, he got transformed by the renewing of his mind. He changed that bad report into a good report by the transformation that took place in his life. Man, I don't know if I'm getting this out or not, but anyway, You can't just deny what's being said sometimes, but you don't have to let it transform your mind and let your mind wrap around and conform to that. You know, he could have said, "Well, 6 months to live, and I'm going to get my house in order and all that. And, you know, I'm going to get my bowling shoes away. And I'm just going to start giving my stuff away and get somebody else to pastor the church. You know, he would have died. He would have died.
Yeah.
Amen. And so instead of doing that, he just decided, I can't die, and kept on preaching. Like I said, 10 years later, I saw him. We were preaching same camp meeting. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Something happened. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. All right. Now, are you in Isaiah?
Yes.
Chapter 55. Go there. Isaiah 55. Go there to verse number 7. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So you've got to forsake your thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I've heard of people before, let's just stop there. They didn't know anything about healing, and somebody explained it to them out of the Word of God, and they said, well, I can see that. Lay hands on me, I'll be healed. You know, people just need to hear truth. How many know that?
Amen.
You know, a pastor in Michigan, she said, I got saved and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And, she would tell her mother, you need to give your life to Jesus, but her mother never did. But she never explained why. You know, there is a good reason for giving your life to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
The best thing is because he's wonderful. But, you know, sometimes you got to put a little fear of God in some people. Yeah, sometimes you do. You know, when the grace approach doesn't work, then sometimes you got to throw a little law at them.
Yeah.
Amen, that's the truth. Amen. What works on one, you got to use different lures for different fish. And so her mother, finally one day, I was talking to Mom again, and I told her, Mom, you don't want to die and go to hell. She says, what do you mean? Well, if you were to die without Jesus, you'd go to hell. Are you telling me, this is what her mom said to her, she said, are you telling me that if I was to die right now, I'd go to hell? Well, yes, Mom. Wait a minute. You're not telling me that if I was to die right now, I'd go to hell. Well, the Bible says, Mom, if you don't know Jesus, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that if I die right now, I'm going to hell? She said, well, yes, Mom, that's what the Bible says. She says, why haven't you told me this before? And gave her life to Jesus Christ. She just needed a little bit of law, a little bit of hellfire and brimstone. Amen. Well, see, the church has cut all that out now. We don't ever talk about hell or hellfire and brimstone. Well, there's a lot of people don't ever get saved either because of it. Amen. These people need to know. Amen. Now, I don't know. But anyway, the wicked man is supposed to forsake his thoughts. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. It's so easy to ascribe and think God thinks just like we think. I know God agrees with me. Hallelujah. How many know he doesn't agree with us, right? All right, that didn't go over big. We got to agree with him, right?
Amen.
He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Mark it down. Thoughts become ways. You keep thinking something long enough, you're going to end up doing it. For as the rain cometh down, that's what advertising's about. Get you to think something. See, I have to watch. I'm kind of impressionable, and I can see something, on the billboard or something, and all of a sudden I got to have it. Phyllis will say something before, well, what did you see something about that? Well, I might have. I don't know, kind of a Barney Fife answer, Yeah, especially if it's food, I'll say, a billboard, best ribs in town. Oh, man. Hey, I think I want to, guess where I want to go? Best ribs in town. Now, why did they put that up there for you?
For you.
For me, for people like me that will see it and, be fool enough to believe them. You get there and find out, well, they weren't the best ribs in town. But guess what? See, that's what God's thoughts become ways. When you begin to think His thoughts, they become ways in your life. Now think about this. This really hit me. This may not do anything for you, but when I thought about it, I just like, are you? Wow. I thought about, wait a minute. When I read God's Word, I can actually think a thought He's already thought. Now we like to think God's thoughts. I mean, I thought that was awesome that I can actually think a thought that God thought by reading His Word. Man, you can't get any better than that. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I just don't know. I just got my way of doing things. Well, yeah, but see, God's ways are higher than your ways. Amen. Now notice this, verse 10. He says, for as the rain comes down from heaven, as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What shall it do? See, it'll come down and water your life, see. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. Now notice this. I want to just show you something here. God says, my word will accomplish what I sent it to do.
That's right.
Well, what did He send it to do? Well, look what He said. For you will go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's just saying your life will be radically changed because of His Word. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You say, well, Pastor, what does all that mean? Well, listen now. Here's what He's saying. How many know the briar and the thorn is the curse? Remember, that's back in Genesis, where God said that's what the earth would yield. God's saying now, if you allow my word to transform you, instead of the curse will come up the blessing. The blessing will come up. Amen. See, we have to make sure we keep our minds renewed with the word. Amen. Come on, are you getting something tonight? All right, well, all right, let me go over to, I want to finish this out tonight. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. We're in the Old Testament. Go over there to Joshua chapter 1. Let me show you something here. Joshua chapter 1. We'll see. Maybe we'll get done tonight. Maybe we won't. Joshua chapter 1. You got it? Look what God told Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Now, what is He telling Joshua to do? He's telling Joshua, before I say that, let me say this. How many know what Joshua was getting ready to do? You may remember? He's taking Moses' place. And what were they getting ready to do? They were getting ready to go into the land where the previous generation wouldn't go into because of the giants, right? See, there's already been one generation that wouldn't go in there. They died in the wilderness. Now, why did they die in the wilderness? They died in the wilderness because they wouldn't renew their minds to what God said. You see, God told them, the land is yours. Every place the sole of your foot treads upon, I'll give to you. He said that to Joshua. But that was the same thing to the other children of Israel. Every place they would go was theirs. But they would not renew their minds to the giants. They let the giants renew their minds. See, totally different. So you can either let God renew your mind, or you can let the world renew your mind. It's called being conformed to this world. You have to renew your mind. So God told Joshua, He said, you better stay in the book and let that book renew your mind instead of letting those giants renew your mind. Because if you don't do that, you won't have good success. Once you get in there, you'll run like everybody else if you allow them to conform your thinking. See, Joshua and Caleb have already said, let's go at once. We're well able to overcome them. Why? Because they had their minds renewed. See, it wasn't a matter that God couldn't get them in there. God has the ability to get you in there, but you have to have your mind renewed so you think His thoughts. So you'll walk in His ways. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? See, Paul said it. He told Timothy, I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I hope you're getting something. But he told Timothy, he said, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. Now, I love this. When you study this word out, sound mind, it's a Greek word, something like sophro, bonismos, or something like that. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. You can't say it, and I can't say it. But anyway, it's a Greek word. And what it has a lot of meanings. It means to be self-controlled in your mind, disciplined in your mind. In other words, you got to learn. You got to take control of your mind. You got to be disciplined in your mind. And here's one thing that I found out about this word. It also, when you put it all together, it actually means safe thinking. Safe, S-A-F-E, thinking. In other words, there's some thinking that's not safe for you. Why do people take their lives? Because their thinking's not safe. Dangerous thinking. Nothing ever gets solved by somebody who takes their life. If you don't know Jesus, it got a lot worse for you. Right? See, as the good thing about us believers is us believers, the most hell we're ever going to have, we're having it right now on this earth. That's it. It just gets better from here. But the sad thing is if you're an unbeliever, the most heaven you'll ever have, you're having it right now. This is as good as it's going to get for you. So you got to enjoy it while you're here because it gets worse from here on out. Because once you get over totally into the kingdom of darkness, there's no mercy over there. So I always think about that. Hey, it's only going to get better for me. Amen. But a person takes their life because their thinking is not safe. And they don't bring every thought into captivity. Maybe they didn't know it. Maybe they're not a believer. They don't know it. But they have. But even the world knows this, that if you get somebody like that in counseling, you've got to change their thinking. I mean, have you ever watched movies, you know, the old movies where somebody's up on a bridge and get ready to jump off and the policeman shows up with the bullhorn. It's not that bad. Come down. Let's talk. What's he trying? Trying to renew the guy's mind. Like, let's change this guy's thinking. See? That's what God's doing with His Word. He's saying, man, He's not saying it's not that bad. He's saying it's good. Renew your mind with my Word. Come on down from the bridge. Amen. You're going to make it. Well, that's true. Amen. And you will. Amen. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to look at one more scripture, if you'll give me the time here. Romans chapter 8. We'll close right here. Romans the 8th chapter. We'll pass over a lot of things we could talk about, but let me just kind of just say this to you. You know, I used to think, I don't know why I got where I got this at, but I used to think like renewing your mind was like something you did and you got it done. But I've learned that's not so. I've learned just like you have to stay full of the Spirit, you have to keep your mind renewed. You have to keep feeding it the right things. Amen. To keep it renewed. Because if you don't, guess what? It'll start getting conformed back into the world again. You know, Paul talked about this. This is in, I think, 2 Timothy 4. He said, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Remember that scripture? All right. What does that mean? Does it mean just all of a sudden, on a dime, they're going to just wake up one day and say, I'm leaving the faith? No. What it means is their minds will slowly get renewed and they'll slowly reject the Bible. Little by little, they'll reject the Word of God. Well, that's happening right now. We're seeing the great falling away in the church today. Now, maybe you're unaware of it. Maybe you just hang out with your friends here at church and you're not around other preachers, you're not around other church activities and see stuff like that. But there are a lot of churches that really are literally leaving the faith. The whole church is. The pastor is, everybody is. And it didn't happen overnight. It just slowly they started letting the world renew their minds instead of the Word renewed their minds, see. On Sunday morning, they don't get the Word any longer. They just get, you know, the latest whatever's going on. you know, whatever the latest theme is. But have you know, the word, if you, you cannot depart from the faith if you keep your mind renewed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? And let me help you out. Now listen. Listen, I know there's a lot of things. Well, is this the mark of the beast? I'm afraid I'm going to take the mark of the beast and all that. This came to me just thinking that. No Christian accidentally takes the mark of the beast.
No.
Chill. You already have the mark of the Christ on you.
Amen. Praise God.
You have to turn from Christ and decide to serve Him. You know, because, oh, man, I'm telling you what. No, you know what I'm saying? You know, they get ready to stamp your hand, you know, like, you know, when you're going in the movie theater. Oh, no, you're not putting any mark on me. That might be the mark of the beast. You're not going to, oh, my gosh, Lord, I accidentally took the mark of the beast. I'm sorry. No, you don't accidentally take the mark of the beast. This is a bunch of foolishness, you know, by fear mongers that don't know what they're talking about. If any man shall worship him and receive his mark. You don't even know who he is. How could you worship him? Every time we get a good Antichrist, he dies on us. Oh, yeah, I've seen plenty of them. Listen, I've been at this a long time. Some of these prophecy teachers, they don't know what they're talking about. I've been at this a long time. I've been through all the... I don't know what they're talking about. You know, this was the market. I remember Ronald Reagan was supposed to be the Antichrist because Ronald 6, Wilson 6, Reagan 6. His name is 666. He actually turned out to be a really good president and a good man. And now he's in heaven. So we lost that Antichrist there. Then I remember, I heard preachers teaching these things. You know, Pope John Paul II was the Antichrist. Oh, yeah. That was being preached by preachers that ought to know better and body of Christ that ought to not swallow stuff like that. But he wasn't. Amen. Who else? Who else? You know, all kinds of. You get a good one and then he goes and dies. But anyway, don't fall for that stuff. Amen. Did I tell you to go to the scripture before I got to meddling there? Romans 8. You there? All right. Let me get there. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and is peace.
Yes. Amen.
To be conformed is death, to be transformed is life and peace.
Amen.
It's just what you do with your mind. Are you going to feed it the Word of God? I said, are you going to feed it the Word of God?
Yes.
You know, your mind needs cleaned up every day. Amen. You know, Jesus said, and I've told you this before, and I'll close with this. We've talked about this before, but, you know, in John's Gospel, chapter 13, you know, Jesus is with his disciples. It's his last few hours with them, actually. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's his last few hours with his disciples before he's going to be crucified. So, you know, he's telling them some things and being intimate with them and so forth and so on. And one of the things that he did was he washed their feet. Remember that? The Bible said he got up from supper, girded himself with a towel. He began to wash their feet. And he got to Peter, and Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. Now, Jesus said to him, he said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Now, how many know, you know, sometimes we think of that as a teaching on humility, you know, the washing of the feet, and it is, or servanthood, you know, and it is, but that's not the only thing here that Jesus is talking about, and you get that because when you read that, Peter said, Lord, you never washed my feet, and Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Now, what is he telling Peter? Hey, your feet stink. If you don't let me wash them, get out. I mean, that's not what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. Peter said, Lord, if that's the case, if that's the case, he said, wash my hands, my head, just give me a bath. You know how Peter would go overboard.
Yeah.
And the Lord said something very revealing. He said, Peter, he that is washed or bathed or showered, we would say today, doesn't need to re-shower. He just needs to wash his feet. Now, see, in their days, you know, they wore sandals and they walked in those dusty trails, and they may have bathed that morning, but walking somewhere, their feet gets dirty. That dust gets stirred up. So they don't need to rewash the whole part. They just need to wash their feet. See, What was Jesus teaching? He was teaching a spiritual thing here. He was teaching something spiritual. What was he saying? He said, all of you, you are all clean except one of you. One of you has a devil. That was Judas Iscariot. So he wasn't talking about naturally being clean. He's talking about spiritually clean. Judas is filthy spiritually. He's a betrayer. Betrays covenant. And Jesus said, all of you are clean except one. He said, you don't need to be cleaned again. You just need to wash your feet. Well, the thing that he's saying is this. See, he told them later on, he said, you're clean. He said, I've cleaned you by the word I've spoken unto you. See, and most of us remember Ephesians where he said he washes the church with the washing of water by the word of God. So what was Jesus teaching? Here's what he was teaching. He was saying, if you've been born again, see, we would say this in a new covenant, in our dispensation. If you've been born again, you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But when you walk out in the world, your feet gets dirty or your mind gets stuff in it that has to be washed out, right? You can't help that. I mean, just looking at billboards, you see stuff that you wish you didn't see sometimes. Right? You can't just drive around blindfolded. I mean, some people it seem like they do the way they drive sometimes, but you have me know, you see what I'm saying? You're going to see things. Sometimes you read articles, you're maybe reading a news article and it's got a bad word in it or something. Things, you know, I don't know why people don't got any common sense in it or dignity today. They'll just put it right out there for you. And so what happens? Well, that stuff gets in your mind, so to speak. It filthies your mind. So you got to cleanse it with the Word of God. Keep it washed. Keep it cleansed out of there. Or guess what happens? You start being conformed to that. You start thinking it's okay. See, that's why I watch what I watch. Because if I just subject myself to stuff that's not good, then it's going to start renewing me. Whether I want it to or not, it still will. You know, we bought this thing years ago. It was called Clear Play. And we bought it years ago. And the thing's got a USB stick, and you download filters on this stick. You go to their website, the movies that are coming out, all the new movies that are coming out. This company filters those, so it cuts out the curse words. It cuts out intense violent scenes. It cuts out the sex scenes, all the bad scenes. It'll cut them out. So you put it in there. You know, on one of today's movie, you filter that, you put that USB stick into your player, and then you go up there and you pick the movie out, and that filter works for the movie. And like a lot of them, it just gives the opening credits and the ending credits because there's nothing else that could be in it. So I was like, well, yeah, it was a short movie. But one of the things that Phyllis and I, after we got it, you know, it came all ready with like, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 movies already filtered on. And some of them was really good. It worked good for that. But we found out for like the newer stuff, it just didn't work because the whole theme of the movie was wrong. The whole theme of the movie might be about someone having an affair. And it's like, well, I don't care if you do cut the bad stuff out. It's still the theme's wrong. I'm not going to let that get into my mind and watch that for entertainment. Well, that's renewing my mind. Now, you may not be that, you know, you may not be that strict, but I'm that strict. I'm just not going to do that. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference between some movies, like some of the old Westerns. Yeah, I know people got shot and stuff like that, but it had a whole different feel to it than some of the stuff like today. John Wayne never shot anybody unless he had to. Right. You had it coming, brother. You could always tell when he started walking sideways, somebody's going to get it, man. You know, he'd come in there like this. Like, all right, somebody's not leaving this one, this saloon alive. But see, my point is this. No matter what we're doing, we can't get out of the world. So there's always trying to renew our mind. And if we don't counter that with God's word, we'll, just by default, will get reprogrammed, which is what's happened to a lot of Christians that are accepting things today that 20 years ago they wouldn't accept. What happened? Somewhere along the line, they stopped renewing their mind with the Word. Somewhere along the line, their pastors and their preachers stopped preaching the Word. And so they've let the world change their thinking on things instead of God's Word change their thinking on things. God's word's never going to change. So if there's any change that's going to have to take place, it's going to have to be with us. Because it's always true. Amen. Did you get something today? Hallelujah. Thank God for His word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.